My name's Jamie Petz, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is June 10th, 2002. My sponsor is Joy F., and my home group is Over the Bridge on Thursday night in La Mesa. These three things are really important to me. So I just want to take a moment and honor Jimmy Taylor's memory. He was in the rooms when I got sober. So our format says we share in a general way what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like today. What I'm like today, I can tell you, is only in reference to my twisted alcoholic thinking. So let's start where I have hindsight, and it's much clearer. I'm an alcoholic, and I drink every day. I was also married with children, so I'm an alcoholic mother. And I have the strange mental blank spot that the big book talks about. And when I drink to get drunk, and I don't know how long I'm going to drink or how long that binge is going to last. Like I said, I'm a daily drinker, or I was. I don't drink anymore, not alcohol anyway, but let's see, I can give you like a snapshot. That's probably a good idea. I waited tables, and I also was a bartender in Lemon Grove, and my regular day, I would wake up about 7 and get the kids ready for school and take them to school, and then I would hit the bar, drink till noon, go home, pass out, and wake up in time or come to in time to pick them up from school and start drinking again as soon as I had dinner ready. And that was a daily thing for me. When I went to work, I'd get off work about 10 o'clock at night, and I would stop and buy an 18-pack, and I would sit in front of the television and play solitaire and drink and talk at the TV in the old black and white movies. And, that was what my life looked like when I got here, when I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I can tell you, if you're a newcomer, welcome to a different way of living. The last day I drank, I was drunk, and I left my daughter in a parking lot, and my husband told me, you either get help or you get out. And that was the motivation for me to walk into the rooms, to get the heat off. That's why I came. And I didn't want to be here. Stopping drinking was not a good idea. That's my best friend. It's my solution. And I had come to a place in my life. The big book talks about it, the jumping off place, where you can't imagine your life with alcohol and you can't imagine your life without it. And that's where I was. I was so full of fear. I did not know what life would look like without alcohol. So I went to a place I know a lot of you are familiar with, API, on Parkway Avenue, Parkway Drive, whatever it is. And I went through their intensive outpatient program. And at that time, I got a sobriety date, I got a sponsor, and I got a home group, and I tried to work the steps. That's what I tried to do. Part of my story, my process, or my path, my journey to where I'm at today, the facilitator in the outpatient program suggested that I go see a psychiatrist. I'm a crier. I cry a lot, and I'm also a victim. It's everybody else's fault. If you had my life too, you would drink, you know. And she suggested I go see a psychiatrist and tell him what was going on. So I did, and in good professional form, he prescribed me medication, and I took it. Because, you know, this sobriety stuff's hard. That's just a little too hard. So I thought about just doing the whole marijuana maintenance. Because, you know, the sobriety, not drinking, is just too hard. And it was suggested that perhaps I would want to think about that. And I did. And I pondered that. And I decided that as soon as I smoked a joint, I was going to drink a beer. There was no doubt in my mind. So I did antidepressants, and I did that for a year. And one day my sponsor brings me into her office, and to my horror, she's been taping and saving my phone calls. And she told me, I want you to sit down and I want you to listen to this. And I would call her a couple of times a day or more, you know, as needed. I suggest you do avail yourself to your sponsor. So I sat there in that office, and I listened to myself be a crying, terrified woman, to being euphorically happy and everything's grand in a matter of hours. And after she had me listen to it, she asked me, are you drinking? And I said, no. And she said, does that sound like someone who's sober to you? And I said, no, absolutely not. So she asked me what I wanted to do. And I told her, well, I think I should go to the doctor and get off the pills. And, you know, I want to be sober. That's what I want more than anything. So my sponsor's direction was to go to the doctor and have him slowly take me off the pills. My alcoholic's suggestion, I have a brain of an alcoholic, right? So what you say and what I hear are not necessarily the same thing. And I'm going to respond to you and do the thing, what I think is best. So I promptly went home and dumped them down the toilet and called her and said, woohoo, they're gone. So tomorrow I get to start over. And she said in her voice tone, Jamie, that's not what we talked about. And I said, well, you know, when I got on the pills, they told me it'd take 2 weeks. So let's give it 2 weeks. And if I don't jump off the bridge, I'm good. And that's the best I could come up with. So obviously, that didn't happen, because that's my sobriety date, June 10th, 2002, and I haven't had a drink or a pill or anything that's mind-altering since then. So I started to work the steps again without anything, and my life changed. My life changed, and my life changed only because I was willing to surrender. And if you're an alcoholic like me, I can share with you my experience of surrender is painful. It's very painful because I'm selfish and self-centered. The book of Alcoholics Anonymous is a foundation in my life. I get up in the morning and I'm on my knees and I ask God to just help me not drink today. And then I read 86, 87, and 88 because there's directions on how to live my life upon awakening. You ask God to direct your thinking. I need all the help I can get in that direction, even today. And it also talks about meditation, and I have a meditation book, and I do that. And the one that the at the bottom of 87, it says, pause when we are agitated or doubtful. That one I have a challenge with even now. I tend to open my mouth and then I have to clean it up. I wrote a 10th step today because I'm having a conflict with a coworker, and I continue to have to practice. I get to practice these principles in all my affairs. My life today as a sober woman in Alcoholics Anonymous is challenging. It's challenging. I have a daughter who's been diagnosed with mental illness, and she requires constant supervision. And I have surrendered over and over and over, and I continue to take my will back. I don't know about anyone else, but I know the third step is a daily thing for me. It's a daily thing for me because I want to give everything to God, and I think He should take care of it. And I know He will. I trust that He will. It's just He doesn't do it fast enough, and the results are never what I think they're going to be. They never think of that. When I was 3 years sober, I was having a hard time acting right, and I got in a lot of pain. And I went to my sponsor, and I told her, I will do anything you tell me to do. Please give me some direction. And my pain was emotional. And she had me do inventory, and she helped me through that time. And thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.